Deplorable Nation, the podcast of the people, by the people, for the people. For your rights, we fight. You decide. Facts. Is it really conspiracy? It's all up to you, patriots. Never give up.
What's up?
Yeah.
Hello, all you beautiful, gorgeous, sexy patriots out there, and welcome to episode number 4 of the Deplorable Nation podcast. I am your host, Deplorable Janet. I like cold beer. I don't live in fear, and you can shove those fucking masks right up your rear.
Oh, God.
So, hello, everyone. Hello, Mr. Matt. How's it going with you today?
I'm doing really well, man. Greetings from California.
California, the only place on earth you don't want to live.
Oh, man. It's been rough, but hey, I'm here to remind them that there is another way. There is the right way.
There's the right way and the wrong way to do everything.
That's right.
So today we have an amazing guest on her show. It's Mr. Jack Allen from the podcast Conspiracy or Just a Coincidence. If you haven't already listened, like, download, subscribe, because it is fire. How you doing, Jack?
I wish I had a cool intro like the both of you, rhyming. A little joking with the name Cal. I was trying to think. I was like, what can I say? I couldn't think, but I'm doing great. But thank you so much for having me on.
Hey, we like to poke fun at each other. And on every podcast, I always say something unique. That's just my shtick.
Hey, that's a good shtick.
So today, we're going to get really deeply involved in a subject that Twitter and the rest of the mainstream media absolutely hate. They don't want us talking about it. I'm getting some shit on Twitter currently at this moment. Our fans are wonderful. They check all the time. And I have been put on a list from Twitter for banned suggestions from search engines and whatnot. They do not want people to follow me.
I find that hard to believe.
Twitter doesn't like the truth. And it's really funny because it's not like I have a huge account. They just don't like me because I am not afraid to say stuff.
Well, you're right. So, you're right leaning. I mean, if you're right leaning, you know that they're going to come after you, right?
Yeah.
It's just amazing, honestly. It's like I don't know when this trend started, like, of tech being so, like, social. I mean, I don't know, it just blows my mind, you know. I don't get it.
Kind of like the straight out of the annals of the CCP government.
Yeah. Absolutely. Exactly.
Kind of like what we're seeing right now with all the tech giants. So, sorry for them, but I don't think you're going to get protections under the federal government Section 530 anymore. So, you can ban me all you want, but you're not going to make me be quiet. So, you can kiss my butt cheek. So, anyway, Jack, you had a really great show on the polio vaccine the other day.
Thank you. Thank you.
Give our listeners a brief overview of how that started, how that all came about, and how the government got involved in vaccinations.
So basically, I mean, all vaccines, we're basing this like technique off of a 1700s science experiment that was never proven again. So, I mean, you can even like go into like, is germ theory really, like, is that actually how you get sick? Like, because those true holistic chiropractors, they believe that it's getting sick is like toxins building up in your body, like things aren't communicating and you're not eliminating things, and that's why you get sick. But we went down this road with Pasteur who about like germ theory, that there's a million different types and all these things like that. And he did these experiments, which were, again, like I said, he stole them from somebody else. He couldn't even replicate them. And
you mean he stole stuff like Fauci stole stuff?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. He
even isn't that sweet?
He locked his notebooks, and his child in the 40s was the first one that was allowed to open them and publish them because he like admitted in there that he stole them from a previous scientist, Bichamp or something.
Yeah. Well, that's a shocker, huh?
Yeah. So basically it started with him though. And, you know, horrible living conditions. We like went backwards for some reason, like Romans had, you know, pipes and the, you know, underwater aqueducts.
Yeah. All that. Exactly.
And then when we came to America and Europe, we decided like, let's just throw our waste in the street and, you know, no clean water. So, yeah.
That led to kind the Black Plague.
Kind of like San Francisco?
Yes, exactly like San Francisco. It just, yeah.
Where you can just poop in the street and everything is A-OK.
No,
that doesn't cause disease or problems at all.
Dude, downtown L.A. is like that too, seriously. Wow. Downtown L.A. is not as bad, but it's I worked down there for 12 years. It's really, really bad. Wow. They actually, you guys probably heard like a year ago, they had literally typhoid. They've had stuff that hasn't been around since the Middle Ages because – you know, it's so bad. And actually, I have a friend, one of the parents I go to school with, his job is to wear a full body suit every night and they bleach the streets.
And clean the streets.
They power spray them around where it's like a 12 block radius of where Skid Row is in downtown LA. But it's really bad.
And let me just say that typhus coming back. Okay, there's a typhus vaccine. So keep that in mind. Right. Mm-hmm. But typhus coming back doesn't have a goddamn thing to do with the fact that we're not vaccinating. It has to do with the dirt and the filth resurface that was the United States of America, because we got retarded when all of a sudden we founded America and people don't know how to be clean.
I think we got lazy. I think that's a classic thing with us. We have to admit it. As Americans, we're lazy as crap. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But one thing,
kind of like the generation nowadays, huh?
Right. Yeah, dude. They're all little, you know, snot-nosed little shit asses. Hey, I wanted to ask Jack something though, because what you were just talking about with all the like how they were throwing stuff out on the streets. Yeah. That's eventually what led to the Black Plague, though, in Europe, right?
Yeah. I mean, all those. Like typhus, all scarlet fever, cholera. You know, all those things
are
unhealthy eating habits or like, you know, bad spoiled food and unclean drinking water. They all are, you know, like the Civil War. I think like, I forget, I think 80% of the men that died were died because of like diarrhea.
Dysentery and stuff.
Jeez. Like that's absurd, right? 80. And then like, you guys have seen Game of Thrones, you know, when Jamie is in the, like he's in, prisoned in during the battlefield, like sitting in slop.
Right.
Do you guys remember that scene? I don't know, but that's what I imagine when they said, like, imagine what the prisoners of, you know, the South or the North went through, like what they lived in, you know, or what they were fed.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And nowadays they get like, you know, it's like a palace for them. Yes, you're locked up in a cell, but my dad worked for the federal prison system for a very long time. They have TVs, they have video games, have access to education, they have all kinds of classes, they have like anything and everything that you can't get as a normal everyday citizen if you're poor, you can get it in prison.
Oh, yeah, you can get full-on degrees and stuff. A lot of guys will do that when they're in there, for
exactly.
sure.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Man.
Yeah. But yeah.
So, yeah, get back to all the diseases and stuff.
Yeah, so that's – so we eventually – we had all these diseases going on. Like, we literally had an epidemic in the world, like, every 6 years. Whether it was like smallpox or whatever it was, we literally were losing huge chunks because of this. And, you know, just packing more and more people, like in our cities now, but like with no regulation, you know, windowless rooms with 8 people in it, dirty food, diseases rampant. So smallpox is the first communicable disease that they start playing around with. And I'm sorry. I'm trying to find the name of the. I think it was. God, who created the smallpox? I'm so sorry. I had it, and then I.
It's all right. It's okay.
But I'll find the name. But so smallpox gets taken, and people are playing around with inoculation, like in Europe and stuff, and they're seeing some. So inoculation, giving a small part of the disease to like have your body prepared for it, which again isn't really been proven, but they pick it up in America, and they're charging only the rich can do it because they bring like seven people involved and, you know, just it's super expensive. They keep doing it. And then they start kind of trying. So this one dairy lady, I forget what they call them, like who helped watch the cows.
Like a milkmaid?
Yes, a milkmaid, exactly. And she had this theory that if they took the pus from the cows that were getting this cowpox and not put it in people, that it would, you know, give them immunity to it. So the guy that I'm still trying to find his gosh darn name, he did that technique. So he wanted to test it. So randomly just picked 15 people. I'm sure they had no say in it at all. And he inoculated them with them and he claimed he cured them all. He said none of them could get smallpox. And that was literally the basis of vaccines. That was the start.
Wow. So think about what he said, people. How gross is that? You have a pussing open sore and you're going to take the pus, which pus only comes from an infection, and you're going to inject it into another living being to see if that's going to take care of it. Now, if you're injecting someone else's pus into me, what the hell do you think is going to happen to me?
You know, for a second there, I thought you said something else, and I was just going to hope you had a video camera. Go ahead.
Oh, that's funny.
Is another show, Matt. That's another show.
But yeah, you're exactly like they had no, and they didn't even just do it from cows. They did it like you didn't know what and like that was an advertisement like for a good vaccine for smallpox. They'd be like, 100% pure puss from whatever, you know, like that was literally the thing.
Pure puss, man. See, I've corrupted the stream already. I've corrupted it. 12 minutes in.
Throw up. That is so gross. Just thinking about that makes me want to vomit, but that is exactly 100% what these vaccine manufacturers have been doing.
Yes.
For eons. They're taking, guess what? Stuff that only occurs in bats or pigs or cows or whatever lizard species or whatever. And then they're injecting it into humans to see if that's going to help us get antibodies. Now, I've said this before, and I will say it again. Animal-to-human contamination only happens over periods of decades with CRISPR-Cas9 DNA selective, it used to be called genetic splicing or DNA splicing, that happens to cross over into humans only after decades after they have discovered how they can get a quote human source cell to accept the foreign DNA from a different species.
So like a host.
Yes.
I know that. That's interesting.
It takes a very, very long time and sometimes even hundreds of years for any kind of infection, wink, wink,
right,
to jump from a different species into a human. The only way to get that to happen rapidly is through DNA modification. I want you to keep that in mind with the coronavirus.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
We're seeing now that the story that's being pushed is it came from bats in Wuhan, well, not in Wuhan, like 4,000 kilometers or something, or 400 kilometers from Wuhan, right. But miraculously, these bats in a cave in another city somehow infected animals in the meat market in Wuhan, which somehow infected humans in the United States and around the world. That's the biggest bunch of bullshit story I've ever heard.
Absolutely.
In my entire life. Anybody that's into science, microbiology, anything like that, you can look it up. You can study it. It does not just happen to jump from one host to a human.
Absolutely.
Well, hey, Janet, didn't you see there was a thing on Twitter recently where they had a picture? I think it was Obama, Fauci, and in the Wuhan lab, in a lab over there from 2015.
Wow.
And they were already working on stuff. I really believe that they were. I think all this.
President that gave like millions of dollars in a grant to the exact same Wuhan lab.
Right. Yeah.
That miraculously had this bat virus escape from that automatically infected humans.
That would be the one.
That's weird. It's kind of like somebody else we know that invented computers.
Yeah.
Oh, God. You know, that's a rough subject to read.
And then, oh, my God, a virus happened. And, oh, my God, now I have to sell you the cure.
Right.
People, wake up. What do you think is going on
right.
with your, quote, winkety vaccine?
Have you seen some of the talk around on Twitter, especially they're saying that Trump, because now that he was wearing the mask, they're saying, oh, he might try to push a vaccine. And so you have the dispute between, would you support him if he still, you know, put something out like that? And then everyone else was saying, no, I don't think he would really do it. You know, he's just trying to set them up for, you know, for the vote.
Okay, so here's the thing. And I'm going to give you some background today that you're going to be like, what the hell? Trump is pro-vaccination, but not in the manner that you think.
Right. I know you're going to say that. Yeah. Right.
Trump is pro-vaccination, but not in the current forms that are available to us.
That have been used forever.
Yes.
Right. And here's why I'm going to say that. And everybody that knows me knows I am not a fan of vaccinations. I haven't been a fan of vaccinations ever since I started seeing it for myself. I was part of a recording agency for the state in one of their winkety-wink efficacy trials of their varicella, which is chickenpox vaccine.
Okay,
so here's the important thing to note. In 2018, at the end of 2018, there was a humongous lawsuit. Fantastic that it finally happened.
Yeah.
Because there's several people that are constantly fighting for, you know, exposure of truth on the vaccine front. And this was a landmark lawsuit, because in this lawsuit, they sued the federal government for suppression vaccine discovery. They wanted all of the efficacy studies and every blind placebo study, double blinds, etc., every testing strategy and trial, etc., going back for 32 years, the government could produce zero.
Wow.
What that means to everybody that's ever been vaccinated, anybody that has children, grandchildren, etc., that's ever been vaccinated, your vaccines have never been put through trials.
Nope.
They've never been tested. The government and the manufacturers have zero evidence that the vaccines that they're giving you are efficient, effective, and proven to not only not cause disease.
Be safe, though.
Right.
And to be safe.
Right.
They have no proof. They have no evidence. They have no studies to support this.
Man, that's reassuring, isn't it?
It is extremely reassuring.
Jeez. I mean, I'm going to sleep really good tonight, man. Thanks.
I know, right?
Well, yeah.
So think about that. 32 years, no safety studies, no trials, no proof. And if you actually go to your computer and you Google, well, don't use Google.
Go, duck, go.
Google's the Satan of
go,
the
duck,
world.
Go.
Anyway, DuckDuckGo,
yeah.
Go and put in vaccine lawsuits against the CDC. You will literally find thousands and thousands of pages of lawsuits against the federal government because in the 80s, they put forth legislation where you can't sue directly the vaccine manufacturers.
Right.
Yeah, because that's so. Oh, go ahead, Matt.
I was going to say, because, yeah, there you go. There's your liability clause, yeah. Right?
So. Mm-hmm. They're just so profitable. I mean, that it would be easier. Like, I don't know science enough to doubt if that actual process works. But the CDC and the FDA, 50% of their annual budget comes from vaccinations. Right. There's what I don't like, 52 we take as a child now, and they're forced. Right. They're mandatory. They don't have to pay for advertising. I mean, this is what keeps these pharma companies, you know, billions of dollars. In the news.
Well, and let me say this. It's 52 mandatory federal.
However,
every single state has the ability to mandate whatever vaccinations that they want to actually mandate outside of the federal guidelines. So some states require that every person gets a flu vaccination every year. Some of them require students to get hepatitis A and B. Some people require more doses of the DT, which is diphtheria and tetanus. You know, it's never ending, the list of things that states can mandate.
And this actually relates like real. So in England and in America, they mandated when smallpox vaccines, and it was Edward Jenner, everyone, the first smallpox vaccine. Okay. But they used like human health laws and like basically like how Nazi Germany eugenics, that was the type of laws that were on the board. Like, you know, don't reproduce if you have mental, you know, all those things. So that was the law they used, and they mandated the first vaccines. Like Boston, all like are liberal places, but it was like 1847, Boston, England, and one town in England, Leicester, they stood up and they saw that vaccines, they saw people getting sicker. They saw people that like the evidence wasn't matching up what the claims were. And of course, newspapers would talk about it. And Leicester was the first town in the 1880s that they had a 99% smallpox. They had a lower 34% lower than every other town that had like 98% vaccinations, less deaths, less, you know, all these, they beat them. And all they did was they focused on healthy food, like, you know, quarantining if someone got sick, and like sunlight, fresh air, all those things. And what's like coming back now? We eat poorly. We're inside all the time.
Right.
You know,
and they want you inside.
Right.
And I've said for a long time, sunlight is the key, not just to corona, but to like every ailment that you can think of.
Yes.
Sunlight is extremely important.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, I was going to.
And not only that, but like vitamins, because I talk about, you know, vitamin C and stuff like that. If you actually look up regimens for people that are. Like in the ICU or in step down care for coronavirus, one of the main things is vitamin D and vitamin C, IV.
Right.
It's interesting.
Weird, huh? And then Google and YouTube and whatever are deleting people off of their platforms for saying that vitamins are important.
Vitamin C was what they used. There was a doctor for polio. He cured 100% of his patients with high IV doses of vitamin C.
Now, the polio thing is really fucked up to me because it reminds me of the COVID situation now.
Yeah.
How loose was the diagnosis?
Yes.
Yeah. Back in the day for polio.
So anybody with paralysis of any part, ligament for over 24 hours, you are diagnosed with polio. So could have literally been, you know, anything. That was the diagnosis before the vaccine. The vaccine came out and obviously they changed it to like you had to have the active polio virus in your stomach, whatever, how it works. But they would actually, you know, test you for it. So right there alone, you lost like, cause there was like 10 things like of the poisons we put on our food, like DDT toxicity, all those things called paralysis. So they, you know, like you had all these problems and then they changed the diagnosis. So immediately you lost like 90% of the cases before the vaccine was even administered, you know, through the populace.
That's some weird shit, huh? Because they don't spray like DDT or DDT-like substances on crops or through aerosol spray, do they?
Yeah. Who knows what they're spraying?
Weird. Maybe we all have polio now. Mm.
Hey, I was going to ask Jack something real quick.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of a time, because I've asked so many people this, have you ever heard of a time in like recorded history where we've quarantined the healthy?
No, that was definitely not. You know what I'm saying? Not, yeah.
That's my biggest thing with all of this. And I've challenged anyone to really show me, find me one time when you've, and if so, why this year? And the main answer would be because this is an election year.
Right.
No, it is. I mean,
it's true though.
Yeah. But I think it's a good point.
You don't quarantine healthy people. You don't mask.
Right.
Healthy people, because it lessens your immune system. It makes you more susceptible.
Yeah.
So think about like the corona stuff, and they just updated the symptoms.
Oh, God.
To now include people with a disruption in sense of taste or smell, anybody that has diarrhea or upset stomach, blah, 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 da-da-da, coughing, sneezing,
everything,
headache. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. So now you have included everyone that has ever had a flu, a cold, an allergy, a sinus problem, like diarrhea from food or whatever reason, stomach issues like Crohn's, ulcerative colitis, anything that causes diarrhea, all of that stuff you've now encompassed into one broad, very generalized diagnosis. So now everyone has coronavirus and they're doing that specifically to try to push a vaccine.
Yeah, absolutely.
100%.
Yeah.
So in this lawsuit that happened in 2018, it's so important because it not only exposed all of the CDC deceit, but all of the manufacturer deceit, government agencies that have been a part of this that were named in the lawsuit are, of course, the CDC, the NIH, the FDA, the IOM. Now, IOM is a very broad ranging thing. It is a office that basically controls all medical stuff. So physicians, nurses, you know, vaccines overseas. It's like a generalized health office.
Okay.
But
it's funded through the government.
But it's like a parent company in a way.
Yes. It basically is. Because it governs everything.
Yeah, it sounds like that's what you're talking about.
And also the DHS, so that's Department of Health and Safety, just the health part of it. They were all exposed. So in this lawsuit, and people that have heard me before know that I have talked about Bill Gates in African countries, Indian countries. Well, now it's also China is included in that list.
Oh, yeah.
So think about Bill Gates and like where he always tests his vaccines.
Yeah.
It's always in like African nations in a very remote village.
Third
that's
world.
Very poor.
Yep.
So they sterilize.
Yep.
They make people have seizures.
Mm-hmm.
They have neurological damage. He's caused deaths. He's caused stillbirths, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, from all these vaccines, which he's doing again right now.
Yeah, it's true.
In countries in Africa with his stupid, Gates whatever Foundation. It was called,
yeah.
Some stamp.
I
talked about it on the last episode.
Eugenics like has never gone away. That like, you know, it was big with Nazis,
right.
It was big in America in the 20s. They just realized they can openly come out and say we need to get rid of the unwanted. I don't know the way to describe it, but you know,
yeah.
Understand the type of people that
right.
they deem not worthy. They don't want those people. So they realized they couldn't just that people would revolt if they knew they were going to be killed or sterilized. And now
exactly.
They just have a much more efficient philanthropy way of saying this, but or philanthropic.
And it's funny because like Margaret Sanger did the same thing with Planned Parenthood, where it's like, oh, yeah, we have to put all these clinics to help poor, underprivileged black neighborhoods.
Yes.
When in turn, she was forcing mandatory sterilization of the black population. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing with Gates, where he's like, oh, well, you know, the black people are so important to our nation that we're going to go and we're going to test black people first. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to say, beware.
Yeah.
Beware, because this man is evil. He has hurt so many people. But this is like a catch 22. It's a double-edged sword with this whole vaccination thing.
No, it's an agenda 21, but go ahead.
It is.
And, that was nice.
You know, we talked good about before the things that they put in it. They put in dog cells, cow cells, human fetal tissue, DNA, antibiotics, steroids, detergents,
mercury,
metals, aluminum, yeah, mercury, you know, you name it, you have it in these vaccinations. So since like in the 80s and they decided, geez, we can't hold the vaccine manufacturers liable for this. We're going to have to do something else. So their first step was to set up this system that is a total fucking joke. It's called VAERS. And it's the Vaccine Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. Okay, so you have a problem. You give a vaccine to somebody, they have a problem. Like, say they have a life-threatening reaction, because on a lot of these vaccines, there's egg protein. People are allergic to eggs.
Right.
Peanuts, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So they have an adverse reaction. So you're supposed to put it in the system if you're a healthcare worker. Where does it go? Straight to the CDC and the FDA.
Janet, who runs the CDC right now? Who's in charge of it? Or is that a weird question?
I don't know. I never thought.
That just came into my head right now. I'm like, wait a minute, who the fuck runs the CDC?
Okay, so I don't know who the main person in charge is.
We'll find out.
The CDC is a very broad thing. So Redfield is part of, you know, that. I can't remember the guy's name that's like in charge of the FDA, but you know, CDC is a like a government umbrella.
Yeah,
it encompasses a lot of things.
Federal agency. So probably, yeah, you know, so quasi governmental.
Dr. Fauci is under the CDC umbrella. Dr. Fauci is in charge of things at the NIH. He's also in charge of USAID. He's also in charge of giving grants to other countries, like the Wuhan lab.
Yes.
I didn't say that.
I don't know. I something bleeded so anyway, in my recording here.
Bleep, bleep. So anyway, when they set up this reporting system, they started getting inundated with adverse events. And they're like, oh my God, what are we going to do? Do you know what the largest reported vaccination is under their system?
No, what is it?
The flu vaccine.
Ooh, that makes sense. Yeah, every year.
Keep that in mind, because we're going to talk about that in a second. But because they made this umbrella thing where, oh, you can't sue a vaccine manufacturer because they're all good and they all tell the truth, and I'm sure they've tested everyone and everything all the time, and you know, it's just fantastic.
And it's all in the public's best interest.
Right. The federal government started getting flooded with lawsuits.
Okay.
So to skirt that, what they decided to do is set up what's called the VICP. It's the Vaccine Injury Compensation Network.
Wow.
When they set this up, now keep in mind, this is all going through the federal government.
Of course it is.
So, wink, wink. Okay, yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing to see here. So they set up this VICP because they were like, Oh, there's so many lawsuits. If you could just go all through the VIC program, that would be great. But they put a cap on the amount of money that you can get from reporting an injury from a vaccination.
Sure.
It's a $250,000 cap. Now, if you die, or if you're sterilized, or if you're brain damaged, or mentally incapacitated, you started having seizures, it destroyed your heart tissue, it gave you neurological disorders, memory impairment, et cetera, which is what your vaccines do, you have a $250,000 cap and you cannot go any further.
Wow.
And they request that you no longer sue the federal government. You only go through the VICP. Wow. That's to limit the amount of lawsuits that the federal government
has. Right.
Okay, so get this. Through 2013 to 2017, $229 million on average per year was paid out. Now, these are people that actually go through the VICP. Other people were like, screw you, this is the federal government, and now I'm going to get you in court.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just lawsuits that went through the VICP in a four-year period.
Wow.
$229 million at least on average per year.
Paid for by our lovely tax dollars, I'm sure.
I was just going to say that. kind of like the conversation that you just had on your show with Mr. Robinson.
Yeah.
Your tax money is taken, goes to the federal government. The federal government then turns around and pays out people through your tax dollars for damages that are caused by the vaccines that they fucking mandate that you take.
Wow.
You know what gets me? Remember Johnson & Johnson, because they have it on TV all the time. And this is what gets me about these big companies. You know where I'm going with it, about the talcum powder.
Right.
Think about it. Right. If you're a company, and I'm not saying it's right, but I understand why they stay in business or they stay doing it. If you make $4 billion a year, you only got to pay out $500 million or even, you know, $800 million or $1 billion, you're going to stay in business because, oh, well, you're raking in the money, right?
Yeah.
Right. And that's what they do. And it's called suppression tactics for their marketing. So they will hide adverse studies that don't work out to their benefit.
Yeah, they won't tell you everything. It's like, we didn't lie to you. It's just, we didn't tell you everything. We only told you what we wanted to tell you. We just told you the positive stuff, not that, you know, a lot of people died or they had a dick growing out of their ear. You know what I mean?
I need a dick in my ear, but that's beside the point. Go ahead.
I was going to say, he gets home later.
But think about that, though. I mean, they know this crap goes on.
Right.
The government was sued, and they have no fucking clinical data to prove anything.
Yeah.
So you remember when they kept saying in the news, you know, like MMR causes autism.
Yes. I don't know if it was in the news.
The federal government was like, no, it doesn't. Like, it's totally safe. Like, you crazy. Like, here, do autism.
Here, try some pus.
Exactly. We'll get around for pus for everybody.
But like, Ed, you know, my fiance, she's a nurse, and the AMA, which was a Rockefeller started, you know, dictates what is taught. So like, I don't blame people in the health because they get, you know, short. And why would your those teachers, they don't know either. But like, you know, she was told like, it doesn't do that. And obviously that's why they're, you know, they have to teach that. And, you know, I don't know
what what does your fiance say about
positive reinforcement?
What's that, Matt?
I was saying, what does your fiance, if she's in the medical field, what does she think about the masks and their effectiveness and all that?
So she wears one at work all day, but she's like, you know, and she's not like a Trump fan or anything like, not that, but you know, that's just how it become politicized, but her and I, we don't wear masks outside. I mean, I wear them in the store because I don't want to be accosted and end up on the internet, but you know,
it's true. That's a legitimate concern.
Yeah. We're not worried. Like, we've had my family over, her family over, you know, we're not
nice.
Yeah. Cool. So she doesn't, you know, the people that yell at you, they're, you know, just as they're crazy as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's my girlfriend, but go ahead.
And me personally, I was looking forward to getting accosted in a grocery store, and it's never happened, sadly.
Really?
I'm just desperate for any kind of human contact myself.
I know, right? Just please touch me, Karen. I can't stand it any longer.
I know I bruise easy because I'm on blood thinners, but hit me again, you bitch. I love it.
So you wear no mask, Janet, and you don't get yelled at?
I do not wear a mask. I won't wear a mask because the one and only time when I was working as a nurse and was made to wear a mask, I wound up in the hospital.
Very interesting.
Because I have a really unique genetic heart defect. And so lack of oxygen caused me to have diastolic heart failure. So yeah.
No,
like they can lick my sphincter because I'm not gonna wear one. And if people don't have if somebody doesn't have anything better to do than to nanny boo boo me because I'm not wearing a mask, go to the store and buy a box of surgical masks. Yeah. And it clearly states on the side, does not protect you from coronavirus or any other viruses.
Yeah. It does.
And this is a surgical mask. The CDC is mandating or requiring or strongly suggested.
Right.
In their strongly worded June 28th press release, that you wear a cloth mask. A cloth mask has less than 3% filtration, but yeah, everyone is supposed to wear one.
Wow.
You know what's weird? Whenever I do it, I play Jack. I'm big into video games. So whenever I wear my mask now, I always pretend like I'm doing Mortal Kombat. And I go, let's fight. And I do it. I'm like, let's fight. And people are just like, what the hell's wrong with this guy?
I enjoy it. Get over here. That's all I remember.
I do. Let's go. Finish him.
So, you know, with the whole vaccination thing, and I've told people, you can look it up. CDC.gov website, type in vaccine excipient summary. You can literally look up ingredients in every vaccination. They have sugar in them. They have barium in them. They have things that will harden your arteries, cause you to be a diabetic, alter your DNA. So they have been found in studies to cause cancer, all kinds of different degrees of disease, arthritis, and the big kicker, and keep in mind when I said flu shots was the most reported payout through their VICP program and the most reported in the VAERS system for adverse events. There have been found to be remnants of HIV in flu shots. Now, keep that in mind because HIV, there's no wink cure for that.
That's funny.
Right?
I know what you're talking about. That's hilarious, but go ahead.
Okay, so it's a human retroviral. And so when I said a long time ago that the coronavirus or HIV is closely related in the aspect that it attacks your body the exact same way. Huh. HIV attacks your T cells in your body.
Right.
Your T cells are extremely important in your immune system to fight off coronavirus, which also attacks your DNA. It attacks your lungs. What do most HIV patients die from?
Yeah.
Pneumonia.
Right.
Lung diseases.
Right. Very interesting.
Okay, so keep that in mind. When I said before, I wish somebody would study how many of the corona patients actually got flu vaccinations. Are you following me on that?
You know, it's funny. You know what? I mean,
because who do they, what population do they force to get them?
Right, right.
Yeah. Nursing home patients.
Yeah.
Who's dying?
Nursing home
patients. Sure. Who else do they force to get them? Anybody that comes into Walgreens, CVS, anytime you go to the doctor, hey, there's flu shot. It's free now. Right. You want a flu shot? You want a flu shot? Right.
Yeah.
I haven't had a flu shot in a couple of years. And like after I got out of the hospital with my surgeries, you know, I was very.
Don't ever take one.
Yeah. I don't think I've had one ever since then, to be honest. I don't think I've had one.
Nope.
I haven't had one in a few years, though, for sure.
They say it's like a 50% chance. You know, it doesn't even affect, you know, you, and anything like free, there's always a catch. Anything free, always a catch.
Of course, absolutely. Right.
So think about not just that, okay, and the correlation between the amount of people that got the flu vaccination and are getting sick or testing positive, okay? The cold virus is also a coronavirus. Corona has been around since 1960 but it was discovered in 1960.
Right.
So all these people that are testing positive right now for corona, you may have had a cold in the past that was caused by the same coronavirus.
Hey, can I tell you my story real quick? I think I mentioned to you maybe privately, but my girlfriend's out here in California. She's a native. Her brother has a son. His son's girlfriend works in a hospital out here. Now she's like 22, 23, really nice girl. She supposedly got it. And I think my girlfriend's the kind of person where, I hate to say this, but she almost wants people to have it. She almost is like, oh, look, they've got it. See, it's real. And I think most of us agree it's a real thing that's just been inflated. Because like I said, you just said even, how many of these people, you know, wasn't just an antibody that, you know, showed up and they, like you said, got a false positive, or maybe they were sick from something else. But anyway, so this girl supposedly got it, check this out, like a month ago. And they go, oh, Victoria's got coronavirus. And I go, did they test her yet? And they go, no. And I go, how the hell do you know if she's got it? I mean, Jesus Christ, dude, I'm not
a doctor. It's called assumptive testing.
Right. And I get that. But I was like, so she's looking at me like she's almost like, see, I told you, like, see, some close to us got it. And I was like, yeah, let's see how this pans out. 3 days ago, they wrote and said they tested her. She didn't have it. And they almost sounded disappointed. I was like, dude, you guys are like out of your mind. And she's a liberal. She's like grown up here. She will never, you know, she will never vote for the Republican side. But it was just like, my God, dude, like, when I went in and I got registered to have tachycardia, they tested me and said, wow, your heart rate's 135 to 140 all the time. You have tachycardia. You know what I mean? It's like they got to fucking test you. So it's like, I hate when people say that. Explain to me how they can say you have coronavirus and they go, but now we've got to test you to see if you have it. I mean, have I lost my mind?
And that's what I said before is with their assumptive diagnoses, I would always have a assumed positive because I'm screwed up from sinus surgery. So I sneeze all the time. I'm stuffy all the time. You know, I have chronic sinus infections. So I have a fever sometimes. Sometimes I'm dizzy. Sometimes I have a headache. Whatever. It's from sinuses.
You know what?
And now with their expanded diagnosis, like anybody and everybody that's had it, ever had a sinus infection or an allergy or cold or whatever, they're all going to be positive too.
Yeah. I was going to say, I used to suffer from this rare disease called astaphasta. And basically it's when, it's when your ass looks so much like your face, your bowels don't know which way to move. But that's for a different medical show. And I have some really great pictures too.
That's funny.
Ask the face to kids. It's horrible. It's spreading across the land.
There are some people that do suffer from that. I will say that. So think about getting back on the serious topic. Okay. So think about all the vaccines that kids are required to get, even from infancy.
Right. Yeah.
Why the hell do you need to vaccinate a brand newborn baby for hepatitis B? Hepatitis B is seen a lot in people with IV drug use.
Yes.
Again, think about HIV patients. Anybody that has blood disorders, that has open sores,
yep,
and exchange of body fluids from sex. Now, is a one-day-old infant have IV drug use, open sores, or having sex to transfer body fluids?
No, but we better give you this so you can go to school one day.
Exactly. I mean, what is the point?
Well, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're good.
But
go ahead.
All of our vaccines that like measles, all those vaccines, right, were things that decreased, and they just say this is coincidental, but they decreased without vaccines because we became healthier, we ate better food.
Right.
And even the vaccines we get today, things like the measles, but before they released them, they already went to like nothing. But they there's the survival rate before the vaccine, it was like 99%. And like, you know, the only places that struggle with this are even they have this, like, you recover as long as you have decent nutrition and, you know, again, right, drinking water. Like what's the, so you're risking, you're getting this vaccine and the risk of having a bad cough or whooping cough, whatever it may be. And
right,
the risk of getting, you know, encephalopathy or whatever, your brain gets bigger, autism, all these things, like the risk outweigh the benefit of this, you know, these things.
Right. And the government has been selling for ever since the inception of vaccines, you know, that all these things are good. And, oh my God, they're going to prevent everything. They're going to eradicate disease. They're going to stop disease. Okay. So like I said, I did reporting for the state for varicella when they're like, okay, well, here we go. One dose of varicella to prevent chickenpox. It's going to prevent it. Like, it'll be great. And then the doctors started seeing like booming records of the amount of kids that got the vaccine that actually got chickenpox.
Mm.
And they're like, weird, huh? I don't know. Maybe we should report this. And so we were a state reporting agency, and so I had to literally guesstimate, and there was different categories, like how many spots each patient would have, God, and then ask them this questionnaire, have you ever had chickenpox before? Yes, no. Anybody in your house? Yes, no. Blah, blah, blah. Have you ever been vaccinated with varicella before? And what we were finding was people that had been given the initial dose of the varicella vaccine were actually getting chickenpox.
Wow.
And yeah, so this went on with the state for a while, and that the state's like, oh, geez, that's weird. Maybe we should mandate two. You should get two. You need two. It's important you get two. So we're still reporting after the second one is made mandatory, and they're like, well, that's fucking weird. Like, these people, you know how they used to say you can only get chickenpox once?
Right.
That's not true, because after the vaccination, while we're reporting, many of these people got it 3, 4, 5 times.
Wow.
Every time, chickenpox.
Damn.
And they did the same.
Wait, I thought it was supposed to prevent it, right?
Right.
Supposed to prevent it. Oh, well, wait a minute. It's just not supposed to make it as bad. No, here's the second dose. Oh, that's definitely going to stop it.
And that's literally exactly what they did with smallpox and a bunch of others,
exactly,
that people would get it. And then so the science changed from lifetime immunity to actually you should do it every year. And just think, like, right, in my mind, they're just telling you whatever will get them. Like, when money corrupts and power corrupts, you know, they're going to tell you money, whatever.
It's big money business. And that's, they don't give a rat's ass about your kids, about you, about your parents, your grandparents. They don't care about you because you're expendable.
Absolutely.
What they care about is how much green they get.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like this couple of people in the federal government that were like, hey, this is a great idea. Let's make this vaccine schedule. Let's make it mandatory for all these people to get vaccines. Because guess what? You may not have to pay a lot for your vaccines now because of you know, insurance programs, whether it be through a state-run Medicaid program or regular health care, whatever.
Yeah.
But the states still have to pay for it. The doctors still have to pay for it. So I was in charge of ordering vaccinations, and I had to order them in. So we had to get vaccines from the state, and then I had to pay for them through the hospital. Mm-hmm. That comes out of your budget. You know what I'm saying? So it's big money, and it's like, oh, okay, well, you have to get 4 polio vaccinations. Used to be they would do an oral polio.
Yeah.
That was found to cause some massive issues, so they quit doing oral polio and went to injectable. But it's like, then you get 4 of the DTaP.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait a minute. Well, if you cut your foot or step on something rusty, you got to get a booster. Well, wait a minute. You can't go into 6th grade without a booster. Wait. You can't go into high school without a booster. Wait a minute. You're going to need one again before you go into college.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like constantly, it's like McDonald's, where they have to constantly upsell you fries or a shake or, you know, whatever.
Right.
The government does the same thing where it's like, oh, this is going to totally eradicate, you know,
yeah,
pertussis or whooping cough or, you know, measles or scarlet fever or whatnot, which scarlet fever actually comes from the strep virus, which people hold in their body anyway. But, you know, it's like all of these things, and they constantly have to upsell just for more money. It's like, oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. We need more because it's proven that, wow, it didn't cover your whole life. So now you're going to have to do this yearly.
Thanks. It's just such a racket. I mean, it's just.
Yeah, because think about like just the aluminum and the mercury alone in vaccines. This is kind of like along the lines of what I talked about with Gates before, where you create Microsoft and then, oh my God, you got a virus. And then he can say the antivirus, right?
Right.
Okay. So you put aluminum and mercury in vaccines, which it's in a shit ton.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So aluminum and mercury alone cause brain swelling.
Yep.
Neurotoxins to be released, which, you know, then your body becomes toxic, which can cause all kinds of other problems.
Yes.
Headaches, brain swelling, dizziness, fatigue, stomach issues, mood problems. And then guess what? The government and Big Pharma can step in and sell you ADHD meds,
yeah,
mood stabilizers. Here's some stuff for depression. Here's some things for anxiety. Oh my God, you have stomach problems? Well, you might have Crohn's. Here's some of this. Yes. Here's some of that.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, I'm saying, oh my God, you have headaches. You might have migraines. Let's try to save you the migraine medication.
You know what? It sounds like.
Oh, you're dizzy? Oh my God. There's medications for that too.
You know, like in the military, they have a term I've probably told you. It's called the chaos theory. And it's basically you create a problem, then you create the cure for the problem. Right.
Yeah.
Right. You know. And that is exactly what the vaccinations do.
And that's the problem, reaction, there's, solution thing.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, there's zero studies on any efficacy. They have no thing to back up, you know, all their claims where it doesn't cause seizures, it doesn't cause sterilization, it doesn't cause this, it doesn't cause that. But if you look at the ingredients in every vaccination, bullshit. And I feel sorry for the military because the military doesn't only get the vaccines that are federally required. If you are deployed overseas, you will get smallpox, anthrax, you know, Ebola, you name it.
Jihad.
You got it.
You'll get jihad.
You might get jihaded, absolutely. But it's like, you know, there's a virus or a vaccine for everything, and the military, unfortunately, gets it all.
Oh, yeah. I bet.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then what do you do if you maim our troops through vaccination and they get sick and they're overseas and they're like, oh, phew, it's just water. Oh, phew, it was the food.
That's a good point. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's a good point. You're right.
And they have to get a flu vaccination. And then, you know, think about when you alter someone's DNA and you're injecting us with DNA from all kinds of interesting sources. And you can find this, like I said, on that vaccine excipient summary from the federal government's website itself. And if you don't know what something is, take the time to look it up. But it's like you're getting DNA from not only human cells,
monkeys,
animal cells. Yeah. So they're injecting you with foreign substances. Here again, from an animal that is not human. So they're cross-DNAing you with a dog.
Mm-hmm.
They're cross-DNAing you with, you know, a cow or a pig or a monkey or a mouse or, you know, whatever. Or you're getting tissue, like protein tissue and stuff from other sources outside yourself. Now, people that don't understand like how the body works, even like moms and babies are not always compatible with blood types.
Yeah.
and whatnot. So they have to get a shot of gamma globulin basically to make you more compatible. So yeah. Think about that with the vaccinations when they're giving you foreign DNA from another human or cells from another human being that aren't compatible with you. Think about how many diseases that you can get.
And that's definitely a good point. I never even thought of it that way. But yeah, like the Rh negative. Yeah.
Exactly. Because what kind of genetics did that particular person have that they're now injecting into you through a vaccination?
It's a really great point.
You know what's weird? I really believe you about the thing of injecting people and then like having, you know, stuff with dogs in it. Because I think the last time I got one after that, I couldn't stop licking myself.
You lick yourself all the time. Just stop.
I have a long neck.
Well, that's good. Hopefully you have a long tongue to match that neck. So here's my suggestion for anybody with kids, especially, that's going to get a vaccination. Question everything, however. Record your questioning. And ask them for not only the ingredients, but that you would like to see the vaccine safety and efficacy studies, because there are none. Ask them, does this have human cells in it? Does this have foreign DNA in it?
Isn't it frightening?
Does this particular vaccination have a virus or bacteria in it? Because those are also included. And here's a question. If you're getting a vaccination where they're giving you foreign DNA or a virus or bacteria, because they do that, they inject you with live viruses, live bacteria, etc., why do they also need to put steroids and antibiotics in those if they're safe?
Because you got to bulk that shit up somehow. Oh, really?
They're adding it to try to prevent you from getting sick.
You know what's funny to me about all of this, though, is how, like, say in the past, even from, like, today going backwards, I don't know, 60 years, how everyone, and it ties into this, everyone just willingly takes everything because you think, oh, this is for your own good. And I was always taught that when government says, I'm here to help you, it's for your own good to turn and run.
Run. And that's my thing. You can, I'm not saying you have to believe everything that's out there.
Sure.
Sometimes stuff is crazy. However, question, research for yourself. Like I said, I've given you where you can find and look up the ingredients in a vaccination. If you run across a word you don't know what it is, look it up.
Yeah.
But there's alcohol in the vaccines. There's formaldehyde in the vaccines.
Oh, man.
That I got splashed in the eye with formaldehyde from a excisional biopsy once.
Yeah.
Because the person, the medical student that was helping, did not have the lid on it. It dropped, it splashed the formaldehyde in my eye. I was I was blinded for 5 days.
Wow.
So imagine they're injecting
they are.
Formaldehyde
they are, yeah.
into your body. You know, so all of these things, all of these, you know, human, fetal, cow, dog, pig, rabbit, sheep, whatever, whatever, DNA sources, human protein, non-human protein, you know, detergents, forms of chloride, chlorine,
ugh.
You know, metals, barium, all kinds of stuff. Imagine what kind of things those do to your body.
Well, you know, the thing too is you got to figure, like we'd said before, not everybody's the same. So obviously some people are going to have a insane reaction. Like I was telling Janet right. before, after my heart surgery, right before my heart surgery, all of a sudden I'm like horribly allergic to ibuprofen. Mm. I cannot take ibuprofen right. or I will break out in sweats and faint.
Wow.
So like, again, everybody's different. You know what I mean? It's just like, there's absolutely. Never going to be a one size fits all. No. Vaccine or whatever, right? I'm like, I'm sure you know about this right. way more than we do.
There never will be.
You can't. Mm-hmm. So it's like to generalize it and then to find out that there's literally no science, no tests, no clinical trials behind it. It's just like, let's see what happens. Here you go.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And that's the thing. And that's what I want people to understand. Yeah. And like I said, you know,
you have a right to question all this stuff. You know?
Trump is okay with vaccinations, but not in the current form, number one. And number two, he says it all the time that healthcare should be the patient's right to choose.
Right, mm. exactly.
So two things. Think about number one, the lawsuit that I told you that we won at the end of 2018 regarding vaccinations. Exposed the government, defunded 5 agencies, also defunded the Gates Foundation, because believe it or not, as evil as that shit fuck is, your tax dollars are going directly to the government and directly back out the door to Bill Gates.
Yeah.
You're funding the Bill Gates Foundation, same thing as you fund Soros, same thing as you fund all this shit.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, it also exposed not only the CDC, but the World Health Organization, the federal government, the whole nine yards. It puts into question all of these winkety-wink grants that went out the door under BHO to the Wuhan lab and to other places around the world. Same thing where, like, you know, Pelosi was fighting against, like, investigating the Wuhan lab because that was a tiny little package with a big fat fucking bow on it where tax dollars are going through the federal government out the back door through grants to this particular company that Bill Gates and Dr. Fauci are involved in that got directly funneled to the Wuhan lab.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these things are interconnected.
Absolutely.
The people that like try to shut me down on Twitter all the time because I talk about vaccines constantly or medications constantly or whatnot, it's because they have a hand in this crap. My whole thing is I took an oath as a nurse
mm-hmm.
to protect the patient. I am a patient advocate first and foremost. And when I found out the kind of crap that they're doing, yeah. it's a fucking problem for me. Yeah. Because if they're poisoning you, I'm not okay with that.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to stop talking and I'm not going to stop preaching and spreading the word. If you still choose after you even research and do all the investigative work yourself and you still choose to get one, more power to you, whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the current form, and that's why the second point that I was going to make before I got off topic, I had said before that Trump made an executive order, and it was at the end of 2019, I believe, where, okay, think about this big lawsuit at the end of 2018. in 2019, he did an executive order where he put vaccinations under military control, under Department of Homeland Security.
Interesting. I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah.
They're also the same ones that were in the press briefing before when he mentioned sunlight. He mentioned, yeah, I think they've already been injecting us with chlorine, right? Mm-hmm. And the news media went berserk. Right. Remember that?
Yes.
And they're like, oh my God, he told everybody to drink bleach.
Yeah.
It's in your fucking vaccinations, people.
Wow.
So he's exposing shit little by little. And people that are interested in researching that, you know, and like he mentioned sunlight and UV light, and the media threw shit fit about that. UV light is a big thing for a lot of different conditions. It treats bipolar, it treats depression, it treats psoriasis, it treats all kinds of skin disorders.
Yeah.
Et cetera, et cetera. So everything that he's exposing is crap that the government makes shit tons of money off selling you poisons instead.
Yeah. Yeah.
The more you know, the more you know. My gosh, man.
I know. Jesus. It's a public service announcement. The more
you know. No, but you know what? You're right. Because it's like with my girlfriend. I mean, I've been with her 17 years. And I mean, you've heard me talk about it. It's just like, dude, I could lead her to the desert. You know, I could lead her to wherever and say, look, here it is. And she'd still not believe it. And it's like you said, I mean, all you can do is try to inform people. And it's like, if you think about it, what is any one of us getting out of this? We're not making money on this. We're actually going to get, you're actually going to get harassed for this. Like anytime I was mentioning that I was doing this podcast, you'd be like, oh great. Like this was a bad thing. And I'm like, dude, mm-hmm. you have no idea what's coming. And when it does come, good luck dealing with it because I'm not going to help. You know, so you say that I'm crazy. Yeah, why would you want my help?
You know, and that's the thing, because a lot of people ask all the time. They're like, what kind of red pill? Give me like a red pill to give somebody.
Oh, God, there's so many of them.
And that's usually what I say. But here's the thing. It's like vaccinations. There is no one size fits all for everyone, same as medications.
Yeah, good analogy.
And there's going to be side effects from whatever you say for some people.
Of course, yeah.
I don't know your family member. You do. So you pick something, knowing your own family member, that you think they would be receptive to. I can't give you a broad answer. I can't give you the right answer or the perfect answer because there is not one. Everybody is not the same.
I think a lot of people are going to have to find things on their own because, like, my mom is a lifelong Democrat back in Indiana. And I told her, I said, you don't need to seem to understand that the Democratic Party of today is not the Democratic Party of the 80s when you were growing up and when it was in the heyday, and it was actually pretty good. Mm-hmm. It's just like, right. You know what I mean? It really wasn't that bad. I don't remember it. I mean, I was a teenager, so the 80s were fun to me. You know what I mean? But it's just like,
right. Yeah, it's just... So what's your answer to people like that, Jack?
I think, you're right. There's not one right answer, but there's like even baby ones like that they admitted, like the Vietnam War and the Gulf of Tonkin, how they,
right.
You know, made that up. That never happened. They never sunk our two ships, you know, I don't think there is one answer, but I always go with wars or older things because people can accept, you know, but it's hard, you know, it's like cognitive dissonance. You just can't, you know, you really you're going to write people off if you go too big too soon.
That's true. Right. That's true. It scares people.
Right. Really. And there's a lot of people that have just been so, and I think it depends on the age group you're talking to as well, because there's so many people that have been so indoctrinated that even like discussing historical things with them, they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, I've never heard of that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They don't teach that anymore.
Right.
But if you were to tell them something about Michael Jackson, that's in their history books. You know what I'm saying? It's so weird because the history that the younger generations are learning now is not the history that I learned
they're,
in school.
They're learning pop culture history is what they're learning.
Right.
Yeah, it's a nice way.
And it's true. It's like my daughter did not even know like what the Great Wall of China was, or, you know, that there was a wall in Germany and whatnot. And I'm like, well, you research this and then come back to me and we'll have a discussion about it. I'm like, because this is something they should have taught you in school and did not.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
So. So anyway, one thing I wanted to notate on the vaccines, not only is the government lying to you, not doing trials, not doing any kind of research, etc., but they've also skirted what is called informed consent. Anytime you have a medical procedure or they're going to give you an injection for something or whatnot, the medical professional, whether it's a nurse or doctor, surgeon, whatever, has to give you what's called informed consent, which means they explain to you what they're doing, why they're doing it, and then you have to acknowledge either in writing or verbally, which they then record.
Wow.
That you understand that, you know, if you have any questions, the questions were addressed, et cetera, et cetera.
I had to do that. I had to do that with my open heart surgery. I had to sign it.
Right, right. And you do. Anytime you have a procedure, and they should do the same thing, like any kind of, you do an injection in the doctor's office or something like that, you have to explain what you're doing, what you're giving them, why you're giving it. Any possible side effects, ask the patient if they have any questions, answer any questions, and then document either written or verbally what you know their response was. Vaccines are the only thing that they put forth legislation on, which they do not have to get informed consent on. So when you're lying in the hospital bed, God forbid, Matt, anything ever happens to either one of us again. However, if we're lying in the hospital and they come in and they're like, hey, the doctor ordered this, like, we're going to give it to you IV or blah, blah, blah. If it's a vaccine, they don't have to tell you.
Wow.
You know what's,
just so you know that, you know what's funny? They don't have to tell you.
Before my open heart surgery, I'll never forget, they were in there at 6 a.m. in the morning. They knocked on the door. There was a ton of people coming in. This real little Asian lady, she was really sweet. She comes in, she had a clipboard, and they did. They're like, what's your name? Do you know where you're at? And I was being a smart ass, and I said, oh, yeah, I'd like a double cheeseburger. Can I get some onion rings? And, the lady was like, oh, this isn't funny. And I said, you know what? When you're sitting where I'm at getting ready to face this, I'll joke all the hell I want to joke about this.
Oh, that's nice.
Right?
Right. And that's important. Yeah. Oh, no. A sense of humor about stuff is so important.
Oh, they told me that. They said if you have a negative attitude in the hospital, you'll be there a lot longer. They're absolutely. Like, if you want to get out quicker, right. You better that's be true. Nice. Yeah. So. I had a next door neighbor who got tied down, and the next day he was the nicest guy in the world. He did. 80-year-old man who was about 4.5 feet tall. Wow. But boy, after they tied him down, what is it, code green or code blue or whatever?
Yeah, yeah.
They tied him down, and the next day he was literally offering to buy everybody coffee and donuts and stuff. I was like, damn, he wants to leave. He realizes.
Wow, that's true. Yeah.
But they do. They ask you a host of questions before you leave the room.
Right.
You have to sign.
And they have to. And
right, of course.
And as a medical professional, you have to be very well versed in things.
Yeah.
Now, I will tell you, speaking from experience as a nurse and as a teacher, et cetera, there are a lot of healthcare professionals out there, nurses, doctors, surgeons, et cetera, everyone included in the medical field. That number one, have never fucking looked up an ingredient in a vaccine in their life.
I believe that. I really
much
do.
Less.
Wow.
Much less any medication. And the only thing that we are required by law to do is give you what's called a VIS, which is a vaccine information statement. And it says things like, okay, Jack Allen, today we're going to give you an influenza vaccine. Things that you may notice once we give you this vaccine are swelling or redness at the injection site, you may get a slight fever. You may be a tad fussy. Blah, blah, blah. That's it. That's it. That's required by the government, but I don't have to get your permission to give it to you.
That's wild.
And I don't have to tell you what's in it. And I don't have to give you any fucking information at all because I'm not required by law to do so.
Yeah.
I just have to tell you, you might have some redness or swelling at the injection site, and take some aspirin or ibuprofen, and you might want to use an ice pack.
You know what? I don't know about you.
That's it.
I don't know about you guys, but you're inspiring the hell out of me with all of this. I mean, it's just really making me trust our medical system even more.
I know, right?
I mean, like, God.
Woo-hoo.
It's almost
more
like
power
a,
to vaccines.
It's almost like a for-profit industry or something.
It's insane.
It is. And if you think about like the government agencies that I told you are under the umbrella of the IOM, okay, that's like the federal government. Same thing with like the CDC. It's like a huge umbrella corporation. And think about, look into how many of these motherfuckers have stocks or own shares in big pharma corporations that make your vaccinations.
Absolutely. The swine flu, that whole thing, the people
just
that were
saying exactly
that ran who they were in charge of the, like one of the top, you know, makers of the swine flu. We got like over like $1 billion in swine flu vaccines that never were, but they still got the money.
Exactly.
Oh God.
But everybody was going to die from the swine flu,
right?
Weren't they?
Oh dude, we were going to die from all of them. SARS, MERS, name them all.
Right. And then everybody was going to get infected with the Zika virus and the West Nile virus, and every virus known in the history of man was going to kill us, at least in modern times anyway, even though we have way better ways to combat things than they did previously in the sewage system days of yore. But, you know, I mean, same thing with like the whole coronavirus and remdesivir. Dr. Fauci and five members of the fucking coronavirus task force have stocks, major stocks in Gilead. And Gilead is the manufacturer of remdesivir.
Wow.
So,
no conflict of interest. None at all.
Not shady at all. So if you think for 2 seconds they have the best interest of your baby or your children or your grandparents or your parents or you at heart, you are sadly mistaken. You are a dollar bill, you're a commodity, you're expendable, and they do not care.
Hey, did we touch on something about the CDC? Did you say who did? I mean, I know we were trying to say who was like running it, but who provides oversight to those guys?
Well, that's a very good question, because a lot of them are wankety-wank scientists, right?
I know what you mean.
Wank, wank, wank. It's kind of like NASA.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Like, who oversees NASA, and where does NASA get their funding from?
Right, right. No, I just, it kind of popped into my head. I'm like thinking about it. I'm like, who do these guys, who's the oversight? Who oversees these people? And then...
Well, that's a very good question. And guess what? They're all unelected bureaucrats, aren't they?
Yeah, nice. That's true.
So did you elect Dr. Fauci? Did you elect Dr. Redfield? Did you elect any of these people? Did you elect the guy that's the head of the FDA? No, you did not. But guess what? They make every and any decision for you and your family. So if Trump wouldn't have pushed them to make sure that hydroxychloroquine was okay to prescribe, because a lot of the states were like, oh, nope, can't do it. Nope, it's off-label use. Can't
yeah,
do it,
New,
can't
New,
do
York,
it.
New York was like
and
that.
And the FDA was like, no. And Trump's like, no, you're going to do it because studies show it's effective. Right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They have no accountability.
Absolutely.
Because their goal is not to sell you hydroxychloroquine, which is extremely cheap. Their goal is to sell you medications that are extremely expensive that can only be given in a hospital setting like remdesivir.
And probably stuff that you don't even freaking need.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
You don't need it. How do you know?
Exactly.
Who said, oh, all of a sudden, well, guess what? I mean, it's like, to me, where's the, you know, like you're saying, like women who are with about abortions, the freedom of choice. To me, it's like you'd said, if, look, I'm a grown man, dude, I'm almost 50 years old. If I want to decide to not take something, that should be up to me, not to those guys. You know what I mean?
And that's what I want people to understand, that they're like, oh my God, Trump is pushing a vaccine.
Right.
Trump is not pushing vaccines in current form. Right. If he was, he wouldn't be pushing for your right to choose.
Yeah, exactly.
Number one, whether you want to get the vaccine or not, because they're out there pushing for it to be mandatory.
Yeah.
He's out there pushing it for you to choose whether you want it or not.
And isn't it funny to think?
Thing with like any treatment.
Yeah, somebody's going to sit there and go, oh my God, how dare he give us a choice? Mandatory is right. The way to go, damn it. I mean, dude, this is,
everybody should have to get one.
Yeah, it reeks of communism. It reeks of all this stuff that we've spoken about, to where it's just like, no, fuck you, you're going to take this. And you know, it's funny with my health condition, there's a lot of stuff, as far as I understand, that I don't have to take because I'm already on medications every day, and that stuff literally could kill me. I mean, they know I haven't taken you know what I mean.
Same thing.
I'm actually
same thing. Can't. A lot of stuff won't. Can't.
Yeah, they can't. They can't make me. So.
Mm-mm. Anyway. Nope, I can't and I won't. And if you're going to make it so I can't travel or buy groceries or whatever, well, then I guess I'm going to have to fucking grow my own food and hunt and fish, because fucking, well, I'm super happy right here at my house.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people would be really good with doing that, to be honest with you, seriously.
I'd be totally fine with that.
It's not an unusual way of life for a lot of people, you know, like country folk where we grew up and stuff. It's just like, I told my girlfriend, I said, you know, if you think I'm crazy and you think I'm a conspiracy theorist, I go, when things start to go bad, don't ask for my help, because you don't know how to. No, I did. Like, you don't know how to fish. You don't know how to. You're against guns. So if you're against all of this and you think I'm crazy, why the hell would you hang out with me when the stuff's starting to go bad? I'm going to be on the, I'm going to be selling everything that I can, getting in my car and driving back, you know, east.
Yeah, seriously. That's the move.
I have friends who've been asking me, like, any day. I have trucker friends. They're like, let me know. I'll be there in 24 hours. You can load my truck with all your stuff and I'll drive you back home. Right. I'm like, I know like five guys that are willing to do that for me. So
amen to that.
I've got a plan if stuff goes bad. Maddie's on point here, kids. So yeah, you have to. You've got to look at every situation and every scenario, because, like, I mean, dude, Portland, my God, New York, Chicago, what, 15 people killed in Chicago in one weekend? Oh, no, that was at a funeral. These people crashed a funeral and started killing everybody. Yes. And it's like, nope, you better not send in the federal troops. And I'm like, dude, if you people don't see what's going on, like I said, this is not even about left and right politics. This is about good and bad, or the destruction of this country. So if you want your current way of life to go away forever, yeah, vote for the left side. That's what's going to go down.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Right.
I don't know how to say it.
So we're going to have to close things out, because Mama's got to pee like a racehorse.
Your eyes are turning yellow.
Oh, my God.
No, I'm
and it's not jaundice.
There is a vaccine for that. Oh, my God, I should take it. Totally.
You don't have jaundice, do you?
So, no, I don't have jaundice. I just have IP frequently.
You got to hit the urination station.
I do.
Do it.
Badly.
I don't want to see.
I'm on a water pill, people. I have to pee a lot.
Right on.
So anyway, thanks for joining us today, Jack. It was so good, and I'm so honored that you decided that you would come on my podcast. Hopefully, us little hickey deplorables did not offend you too badly.
No, you guys, I was an honor to be on here. I mean, you know so much information. You're such a great resource. You've brought many followers and listeners to me, so it's the least I would be on your show anytime.
Nice.
So, Mr. Jack, tell everybody where they can follow you at.
Yeah, so it's Conspiracy or JAC on Twitter and Parler. I mean, I don't have large enough that I probably won't be taken off Twitter yet, but when that comes, and that's the name of my podcast on all podcasting platforms, and yeah, I would love for you to come listen, and I'll always take topic ideas. If you want requests, I'll help you out and do my best.
Nice.
Yeah, so everybody follow Conspiracy or Just a Coincidence, because it's fantastic. Jack has a lot of knowledge. He shares a lot of in-depth information. So everybody make sure that you follow him.
Thank you.
And Mr. Matt, where can people follow you at?
Oh, it's easy. You can just go to, actually just go onto Twitter. You can just follow me on my Twitter there and it'll have links to my music and stuff like that. Cause I have, you know, music links and all that, but yeah, just at my Jerry M. Moss, I think is my handle.
And Matt is a musical guru. Everybody. Wow. So
I'm not a guru.
Make sure you follow him.
Crazy.
And of course, follow me at Deplorable Janet. If you don't already know who I am, I will not be quiet. I will not be silent. And I will always be on time, in your face, and all over the place. So just make sure you know that. So anyway, for me, for Matt, and for Jack, thank you very much for tuning in. And have a fantastic day, Patriots.
Have a good one, kids.
Take care.
Thank you.